After all, we do have to keep this, this is a two-sided issue for the benefit of the press. Can't confuse too many people. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. I was trying to compare the proposed language that you have, the proposed language that Mr. Anderson gave us yesterday. And I noticed, for instance, that you have deleted the phrase "will jeopardize or interfere with the maintenance of game populations on a sustained yield basis." Is that because you may feel that that's covered by the constitutional requirement?
That's what I had in mind, yes.
Isn't that, that's pretty much what Title VII says.
Title VIII, rather.
Okay, then the next thing is, you have language that says would result in, you know, that they can change it if it would otherwise result in a discrimination against a class of potential users of the resource. And I guess I'm asking what your intention is, and let me explain why I'm asking. It may be that you do not intend some results that I see from that subsection 3, because very often you can have a discrimination that is not an unfair discrimination or is not contrary to policy. For instance, we discriminate among users basically because they are different kinds of users. It could be argued that there's the plain dictionary meaning of the word discrimination is that you discriminate between commercial fishermen and sport fishermen, for instance. And it may be that you wish some other result than that. Perhaps you want some kind of reference to a standard of fairness, or I don't know if it rises to a constitutional question, but I think it could be argued that almost any kind of a proposed regulation that made sense would result in a discrimination against a class of potential users, because invariably it's going to be dealing with commercial as opposed to sport, as opposed to subsistence, and those all really are discrimination.
So you're suggesting that we add the word unfair, perhaps?
Well, I'm not sure how to accomplish what I'm trying to second guess you intended.
Okay. For the first part, yes, Article 8, Section 4 does refer to the sustained yield principle that would be covered under the Section 2, paragraph 2.
I was wondering if the word unlawful would be what Mr. Brown is looking for. And the reason I say that is that, in other words, we have specified in House Bill 960 last year that we shall discriminate in favor of the future. That was spelled out in 960. And that is a lawful discrimination. Maybe not everybody likes it, but it's lawful. The legislature made it so. So an unlawful discrimination is a different thing. And the point I raised, and the reason I think it's one of the things that helped this item get in here, was that what I saw a couple of years ago is an unlawful discrimination by the fish board in favor of commercial fishermen in the Cordova area against the dip net fishermen in the Fairbanks area.
Was that unlawful, though, necessarily?
Well, I would think so. We haven't spelled out in the law any place to discriminate in favor of commercial fishermen over subsistence fishermen. And we have said we do discriminate in favor of subsistence fishermen, subsistence people, subsistence users under certain conditions. That's spelled out in the Ninth House Bill 960. That's lawful discrimination. And so it's legislation change.
Fred's suggestion is a good one. Just a simple one that comes to my mind is, I think the fisheries board this year put in a provision that you couldn't sports fish off a commercial fishing boat. And there's a whole series of reasons why they do that to relate to people sports fishing, commercial fishing, and whatever, but that obviously is a discrimination, but they thought, for their reasons it was a justifiable one. So I think Fred's probably right.
So that wouldn't have fit under unlawful, but unfair. How about unreasonable? Unlawful is pretty tight, though. I mean, as far as like the example of Mr. Harding gave.
Well, no, I'm saying they should. I think the board should have had the authority to do what they did. And I think you said, I think that was unlawful discrimination. I mean, they had economic and biological reasons they wanted to do it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not an attorney. I didn't do any word unlawful. Mr. Brown is an attorney. I think that's the right answer. Anybody say it was fair to it? I don't know.
How about unsubstantiated? Instead of discrimination, I kind of prefer the word exclusion. The idea being that if somebody can substantiate that there's only 100 caribou left in an area available for harvest, I think you can pretty justifiably, under the law we passed last year and also under common sense, reserve those caribou for the subsistence assistance users. The same, the reverse would be true for the sports people in an area where they've got a trophy fish deal, because of the tourism value, for the aesthetics, for various other reasons. You might want to substantiate that this is a prime trophy fish area, and you might want to reserve it and exclude other commercial fishermen. In fact, you might even want to reserve it against spin fishermen and have it exclusively a fly fishing area. I mean, that's done. It's done right now, and it makes a lot of sense. So I think the unsubstantiated exclusion maybe would take care of the problem Mr. Brown raised, and also perhaps a better word. Discrimination is kind of a negative, kind of a bad word anyway. I mean,
would result in an unsubstantiated exclusion of a class of potential users.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
I couldn't go for exclusion. That would not have done you a bit good. The thing that brought up my request on this, my problem with it, was not in a complete exclusion. But what they did was to reduce the limits down so far so much. You know, they didn't exclude them completely. Now there's a proficient board. I don't know what they did, but this past week they were considering changing that to a sport fishery. It wouldn't be a complete exclusion.
Yeah, exclusion would be too far reaching, you're right.
Because you could effectively, that's where I say would result in a discrimination, because for instance, there's some areas that you can't land a plane on unless there's snow on the ground, like a marsh or an area like that. You can't get in there with a boat, you can't get in there with a wheel plane. The only way you can get in there is with skis on a plane. And so if they said that the season was only open during July, well then obviously nobody could ever get in there. So that would result in an exclusion or discrimination.
It would not be unlawful.
It wouldn't be unlawful. The effect would be that those persons that didn't live, you know, within walking distance wouldn't be able to go hunting.
I don't think you're going to write one that'll take care of all these cases, but maybe unlawful discrimination sounds like the best one. What you maybe can try to do is prevent something that might be a far-ranging abuse in terms of its effect on a group of people or individuals. And I think if you try to take care of all the cases, you're going to end up, I mean, it's pretty complex.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to kind of direct a comment and question to Mr. Anderson. I'm looking at this section, and unless I misunderstand Mr. Anderson's position, it may be that we're starting to get closer in that, at least from my understanding of the position as he stated it previously, there's a good argument that you're right, I think, with regard to not needing a separate section about what his section 2, jeopardizing or interfere with maintenance of game population on a sustained yield basis, since that really is covered by the umbrella of the constitutional section that you pointed out. So it would seem that the major differences are the section we were just talking about. Is there a parallel section in his? I'm trying to see. Okay, I guess there is not. The section we're just talking about, and also a sentence that he has at the end of his parallel section about emergencies that you do not have in your bill. And it would, at least I think, although I'm not sure, I'm asking Mr. Anderson if he thinks that the rest of the section is acceptable.
Well, first of all, Mr. Chairman, I find it pretty difficult to accept the proposed change, because I have a very strong feeling that this really was significant to the 960 passed last year. For some odd reason, perhaps maybe it's the title authorship or something, but I just don't think that the problems that have been defined are real problems. They may truly exist, and perhaps Representative Carr does have a legitimate argument, but we have excluded people from the fishery, and we have a limited entry permit system. We have a permit system in the issuance of liquor licenses. There's a whole group of people that can have these things. And there are people that think that the limited entry program is unlawful. And perhaps that case may be made with the court case that we have. before us now. Perhaps maybe I didn't make my point clearly enough yesterday when I pointed to the Constitution, which very clearly outlines what the rights of the citizens are in the state, and we can't ever get away from that. And, the only fear I have is that the language that you propose, Mr. Chairman, goes back to 960 and loads the...
Which part of it?
Your number three. Result in discrimination as a class of potential users of the resource.
How do you feel about some of the suggestions that are made as far as, you know, referring to that as a unlawful or unfair, something like that? If you reference the limited entry is provided for and allowed by the Constitution and by other statutory.
And 960 is allowed by the Constitution as well.
Right. I mean, nobody's ever said that 960 was unconstitutional. It's law right now.
Well, one member said so on the floor. I have another question for the year here on.
Well, I was hoping that you'd answer it. Well, how do you feel about saying something like unlawful or unfair, unreasonable discrimination? I mean, I see the point you're trying to make, Nels, and I'm just, I think that there's a large amount of fear on the other side of the question too, is that people will be unreasonably discriminated against as far as being able to use the resource. And I have a position that I'm taking there that I don't think is in, you know, impossible conflict with what your position is.
I just don't think there's a need for that kind of language, that's all. Because I think it's pretty clear. What you're trying to arrive at here, you know, spells it out, but you're covered. And I think it's your wish to do this, and that's fine. We'll probably have to execute if you will.
Well, that's not what I'm trying to get to, Nels. I'm just trying to say. I said if it would result in an unlawful discrimination, well, and if the priority for subsistence is legal, well, then it would not be an unlawful discrimination.
I can.
Mr. Brown? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Anderson indirectly answered my question, I think. I think I can conclude from the colloquy between the two of you that except for some technical questions in other parts of the bill, we're down to the point of arguing about the inclusion of one sub-sentence that you would like that he would not, and the inclusion of one sentence that he had that you've deleted in this entire section. And except for that, and although there are very major issues involved in those two sentences probably, but except for that, at least what I'm reading here, that there's not that much difference now. Those are probably the knife-cutting issues, I suppose. He would have you delete your Section 3. You would have him delete his last sentence that starts, if an emergency exists.
Well, there's been no mention of the fact that they needed that back in there. I didn't understand it. That's why I left it out.
Oh, so that's not a difference?
No, I
took it out of there, and there's never been any discussion on that here.
No, that was the other part of my question, whether that was considered a crucial difference.
You're asking Nelson.
I guess I'm asking both.
I don't have any, I don't think it does anything because I think there's a provision for it in other law, in other sections.
So that means we're really down to Section 3 is the major difference, or subsection 3.
No, the chairman has no objection to putting the emergency language back in. Do you have any objection?
Well, I took it out because I didn't understand the need for it.
Perhaps staff that is coming. Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
What that section does, it just makes the provisions under emergency closure the same as, just makes them consistent with the way all other regulations are dealt with. So it's necessary to have it in there to be consistent with the 4 points above. It just says that emergency regulations are dealt with in basically the same way as other regulations.
What does that mean exactly? Does that mean that it says if an emergency exists and the recommended regulation meets the standards, the board shall immediately adopt the regulation? So that is the key word, immediately?
Okay, the basic point is that the board, when there's an emergency, basically consults the regions to see if the regions have worked out a solution to the problem. If they have, they adopt that for the emergency solution. If the regions haven't come up with a solution and they just adopt their own solution. But it just makes emergency actions subject to the same things that, that other regulations are subject to, the same sort of burden of proof language is in effect during emergency regulations. I might add, too, that Ken Basher in Legislative Affairs, is, he said that he would have the final version of this down to the committee this morning, and he said he'd bring it in.
Final version of what?
The Legislative Affairs Agency typed up Representative Anderson's bill with some technical changes that Mr. Basher thought were necessary, and he was going to bring it to the committee this morning. In this particular section, he made some technical changes in this language just to make it flow a little better.
These were some of the objections the members brought up during the meeting yesterday that I had Ken take out regarding the points that were raised by various groups.
I think the basic point is it's just necessary for consistency to have this section in there.
Yeah, I still don't see the how the language you have in those last three lines are relate to what you're referring to, especially the word immediately and so forth. So I'd be willing to look at the new language that Mr. Basher has prepared.
And he'd certainly be much better able to explain it than me. I don't understand either.
Mr. Halpert, you have something?
Yeah. I would say that the number three in the section where there's basic disagreement on would result in a discrimination against the class of potential users. If it's used, in fact, in that way, it may be at least a partial appealer for 960, and I can see the objection to that. But I think if you use the word unreasonable, the legislature has determined that the existing statute is reasonable. It did pass it. And I think that's the mandate for the board, that at least that level of discrimination is reasonable. And I think that wording is a substantial protection from just using the word discrimination, meaning any discrimination. I think the word unreasonable kind of moderates that section substantially in terms of some of the objections I know that some people have.
Mr. Brown? Well, I suppose lawyers always end up using more words than everybody else, but if I were trying to offer an amendment, because you're really talking about two different things. You can have a lawful discrimination. One example was the subsistence law. There are other examples. But if you say unreasonable discrimination, if we're saying the regional councils are supposed to have some authority, and you don't have some standard for what is reasonable, there is at least available an argument that you're really handing it all back to the boards again. And it might be that they could do whatever they want to. If you put in some kind of a thing that the standard is higher, say something like unlawful or clearly unreasonable or some somewhat higher standard, or make it more difficult for them to change an action or not adopt a recommended regulation, maybe we'll be getting closer, because there are two different subjects: whether a discrimination is reasonable as a matter of policy, and then whether or not discrimination be proposed by one of the councils is unlawful in the for instance, one of them might propose to discriminate against subsistence users in a manner quite clearly contrary to 960. So I think maybe what we have to do is play around with three and see if we can come up with something that most of us or all of us would buy. And that's just my parting shot. What I would try. Unlawful or clearly unreasonable is at least what I'll try at 10 minutes to 10. Now maybe I can refine that over the next hour or something.
I'd just like to point something out for Mr. Harzman, that yesterday the Board of Fish voted to keep the chipmunk fishery a subsistence fishery, not changing the sport.
Mr. Anderson, it might be because I got a letter signed by every member of the interior delegation, both Senate and House, suggesting they're not doing it.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out to the committee, because Mr. Farr was concerned, and I did find out that they did.
Well, we had Jeff's signatures on the letter to him.
I'm sure that had a lot to do with their decision, but they did make it.
Political pressure working on
Mr. Chairman. Yes. One problem with what Mr. Brown's suggesting, or Mr. Halpert, that it was unreasonable. We're all reasonable men here, and if we had some women present, we'd have some reasonable women. But but reasonable people come to completely different, widely differing answers. That's why I like the word lawful better. That's clear cut and spelled out by statute.
I have a minor point. And this is to Representative Anderson. On page 7, on the authority of the regional council,
subsection 2, you say review and evaluate proposals for regulations, policies, management plans, and other matters. I don't know, I personally have some problems with that. Other matters is too vague for me, unless you can expound what you mean by that.
Well, there are things that we can't anticipate that the boards or the regional councils may be making some decisions on federal matters, 200-mile limit, perhaps some other areas where they may not have any direct authority, but may want to make a recommendation in another jurisdiction. That's just not necessarily tied to the state, because we do have, a lot of federal presence in the state of Alaska. And I think it's important to have that language in there to give them some flexibility to make their feelings known and bring that to attention to the master board and master board official of the
end. I think we're about out of time. We'll try to schedule a meeting as early as possible to continue this.
There must be an error. It's just page 7 repeats a whole bunch of language on page 6.
What section 3 and section 4 both? Section 3, on page 6, section 2 adds a section of duties to the Board of Fisheries. Section 3 adds exact language under the duties of the Board of Game.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Oh, no wonder they're identical.
The only different words on those pages are Board of Fisheries.
I guess they just said Board.
Which is in 1605-255, the Board of Game.
Yeah.
251 is the Board of Fish, 255 is the Board of Game.
Well, there must be. Are we missing a statutory reference then on page 7?